Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to a very, very special episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Corey. DJ Indira, could you put down the... Thank you very much. And we have a very, very special show for you tonight. The I was going through our voluminous viewer mail this week, and we've had a question that we've been we've received over and over again. Dr. Sexopolis, my co-host, is going through this viewer email, and we get the same question over and over again. And I've been suppressing it for a long time because it actually reveals my master plan.
Would you like me to read one of the sample letters? Or?
Well, I was actually referring to the main topic. The repeated topic in our viewer emails was, how do you get someone of an incompatible sexual orientation to have sex with you, basically? I mean, if you're a gay man trying to get a straight man to have sex with you, or whether you're a lesbian trying to get a straight woman, or the possibilities are virtually... I mean, my primitive earth brain can't commute the number of possibilities, but the possibilities are virtually limitless. The reason I was hesitant to bring this up on the air was because this is actually my own multi-year plan for Dr. Sexopolis. By the end of, I think by the year 2002 or 2003, he's going to be my willing...
Well, judging by how close you two are sitting tonight, actually, I think you're doing well.
You'll have to take my brain out of the vat and put it in some kind of android body, however.
Well, I've been creating a special Jonathan Taylor Thomas fleshy host...
torso.
So,
excellent.
So anyway, so that clumsily introduced topic is the topic of tonight's show. That is, I mean, we've all felt this way, I'm sure. Like, you know, I mean,
how to get somebody to switch teams, in short.
Well, yeah, basically. And if you you know, if it comes up a lot. I mean, if you think about it, dating is hard enough. You know, you have to jump through enough barriers as it is. Like, is the person available? You know, are they not in a relationship? Are they the right? Am I, you know, are they what I'm looking for? Am I what they're looking for? Like, all these things.
Are they not in an iron lung? Do they not run screaming?
There's all these things. And then finally, like, you might have somebody that's the perfect. I mean, who hasn't, like, been, like, really good buddies with someone and had that person say, dude, you know, if you were a girl, I'd be all over you. We'd be like, I mean, what is that? You know, is that not a canonical human experience? Brenda.
I haven't.
Okay, we'll substitute boy for girl.
No, actually, I still haven't.
Really? You've never been hit on by a member of the other team?
Okay, I've never been hit on by a close friend or even just a regular friend. I did get, well, attempted to be seduced by another girl a long time ago, but it was pretty much failed miserably on her part, so.
So, I want you to tantrically tease and delicately stroke me with this story. So, so there you were. You're at some kind of college kegger. It's 3 in the morning. Everyone's pretty much gone home. Like, the last strains of Chumbawamba have, like, stopped playing in the stereo.
And you've gotten up again.
And it's just you and this female friend of yours, and she's helping you pick up and talking about what a jerk your boyfriend's been. Is that basically
giving you a back rub?
Is that basically how
are you trying to set a scenario for me, or are you trying to make me describe the
past? I was just guessing
scenario.
How it probably happened. If it happened differently.
No, it was not. No. Well, so first, to start off with, we weren't actually really friends at that point. We were just kind of sharing a common lover.
Ooh, and sharing a common lover. A man or a woman?
Man.
In a friendly way, as in, oh, you have him tonight, I need to wash my hair, or in a kind of backbiting.
Oh, you did her. Did you now? Wait, sort of what?
So you're in a V in polyamorous terminology? Were you like in a V-shaped
I guess so.
Relationship?
At that point in time, I wasn't really experienced, and this sort of idea of sharing was not at all something I was familiar with, so I wasn't taking it well. So, in short, I didn't really like her very much.
So can we get an idea of the relative ages of all the various participants just to kind of color this a bit more?
Okay. The two of us were teenagers, and he was 24.
Wow.
The older, potent man.
Was he in high school? Were you in high school?
Yes.
You were dating a 24-year-old man in high school? That's like every, like...
I didn't say dating. I said sleeping with.
Wow. Were you doing this to get back at your mom? That's not what every...
No.
Did he have a nice man car? Really had the Mac on.
Yes, he had a nice car.
Okay.
Oh, that one. Never mind then. What kind of car?
I forgot.
It was important to you at the time, though.
The older man, younger woman thing is actually a very powerful force I've realized in the past few years. And I think it can actually generate many views.
I guess that's good for those of us who are growing older.
Yes.
But I think we've digressed.
If you bend towards the younger girl aspect, I suppose. I know a lot who would run in fear, clear very quickly away from that.
But come on, let's peel away like the layer, the onion-like layers of your denial here. You're in high school and you're going out with a 24-year-old man. He's either giving you money, drugs, or he's a bad boy and you're using him to get back at your mom. So which is it?
I met him through the BBS scene and online.
BBS scene.
The bulletin board system. Yes.
This was before the internet when people had to like have.
This was most before the internet. Yes.
And you type go to room 41. BDSM/alternative and like type your fantasy in uppercase. Is it really? I mean, that's basically.
Well, before I was active on the internet, at least.
And so you through this BDS scene met this skeevy 24-year-old with the fast car.
Yes, and he was less skeezy than most of the other guys I had met there. So it kind of developed an instant attraction as to someone. Hey, someone who can carry on an intelligent conversation with me, and who can actually do some fun things and. Things gradually turned to sex. And
how gradually?
Sex wasn't very good, but how gradually? I don't know. I think I know him for like... it depends. If I know him online or know him in person. Probably know him in person for like a month or so. I really don't remember very well, though.
And the sex wasn't very good, you said?
Was he your first?
No.
Lover? Why wasn't the sex good?
Small
winky.
Gnarled.
Yeah, that was actually one of the points.
Wow, I'm crushing down for half of our listening audience.
I think most of it was that he didn't know how to get someone involved who wasn't experienced. He wasn't my first, but I still wasn't very experienced, and I didn't know what to. I didn't know how I enjoyed myself, and he was just kind of. He didn't really know how to foreplay for someone who wasn't experienced.
Sounds kind of like typical insensitive lover then.
Probably.
Damn, we were hoping for some kind of freakish sexual need that he had that you wouldn't fulfill or something. Or vice versa. Like you really needed to be farted on to get turned on. And
so is this what led you to experiment with lesbianism?
His unsatisfying
placid penis?
No,
actually what led me to experiment was that we three of us were out late one night and he dared her to try to seduce me.
So this is just for his own twisted pleasure, right?
This is just for his own, just having two cute girls around, see what he can get off.
He was the puppet master. Yeah.
Wait, so you are together? Usually the two legs of the V don't go out socializing together. It's usually you and him.
This was in the very beginning before I'd grown to despise her.
The passions went deep.
And him, actually.
I mean, did you have some kind of mental model for this relationship? Was it like, oh, we're all just fooling around, or oh, we are really in a three-way relationship?
Or oh, he really loves me, and this other girl is just a thing?
Well, so I think he slept with her like once before I said, okay, that's it, I'm done, bye. So it wasn't really a full-blown V, we're both going at it thing.
Kind of a lowercase V.
Yeah. But they were fooling around for a little while beforehand, I think.
And this was all known to you at the time?
Probably known to me, but I was probably denying it mostly.
So you're all going out riding one night.
Mm-hmm.
In his Camaro.
In his Camaro. And
going to the Chick-fil-A.
And as a way of, like, covering for the fact that he's taken, you know, so much mescaline that he can't get an erection, he says, why don't you two get it on while I watch?
Something like that.
Where is it? Hotel room? Car? Malt shop?
Beach, actually.
On the beach.
Oh. Ooh. Slightly classier than I expected.
it was part of like a truth or dare sort of thing, or dare or dare, one of those games. So it wasn't a just go get it on. It was a, okay, you see if you can seduce her or turn her on in like 2 minutes or whatever the time limit was. And she was bisexual, so she was all over this. She was like, okay, sure.
So what did you do?
What did I do? Well,
no, what did she do?
What did she do? I just kind of said, well, okay, I'm part of this. Do whatever you want. And she crawled over to me and climbed on top of me. And
you're lying down on the beach?
Yeah.
What are you wearing?
I have no idea. Shorts and a button-up shirt, I think, something like that.
No t-shirt underneath?
No latex bodysuit?
Nothing.
Was your shirt, like, buttoned down to just, like, one or two buttons so that your kind of
no.
Abdominal chest area is... showing? Belly button?
I don't think so. I was wearing very normal clothes. But basically, she crawled on top of me and started, like, nuzzling and kissing my face and kind of rubbing herself against me and kind of getting into what would probably be known as more of a missionary style something, some girl. And I was just lying there thinking, you know, I don't really like her. I don't really like girls. It's pretty boring. And after the requisite minute, 2 minutes, however long it was, she got off and I was like, okay, that's nice. And that was about it.
Did you sense her getting discouraged? Did you sense her trying all the possible avenues?
Possibly. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
I think you're suppressing some important part of the story. I mean, so you're a teenager. Okay. You're 17, 19. Your hormones are raging. You're already in a relationship that transcends the boundaries of normal human interaction. Why aren't you like, you know, it is time for me to explore Sappho, the art?
With
the
a woman, or
just form of love? That
You mean just with a woman?
With this woman, who's like very conveniently like
on top of you, rising.
Was she a skis or not? I mean, like, you know.
She was a little, well. She wasn't quite all there, I think.
Tattooed?
No, not tattooed. She had curly red hair. A little older than me. I don't remember.
Did you read much Sylvia Plath?
I have no idea. She was all about sex. She liked it, and I just wasn't ready to delve into the random sex. I was still into the sex because I care about someone, and instead of sex for sex's sake itself.
How charmingly naive.
And this was way back when. Yes, I was. And for that at that point in time, girls just didn't do it for me because I had trouble getting really emotionally close to them, so getting sexually close was just out of the question.
Interesting. So, I mean, you know, contrary to my own sexual development where, like, you know, blind, you know, insane, mindless lust came before emotions and feelings, yours was quite the opposite. You apparently didn't feel sexual about someone until you really, really liked them.
Pretty much. And then... It kind of gradually went towards the, okay, sex is okay, and let's be comfortable with just sex itself. And
I was going to say, see the burden that we straight men labor under? DJ 2000.
I think it was like partially brought up by the heavy, strict Christian upbringing, which I gradually broke out of. But.
You look puzzled, DJ 2000.
You look confused.
Okay, so, but I'm interested. So you get the skeevy chick off of you. Your skeevy boyfriend is like, that was kind of disappointing. But you've had 15 years to ponder this tragic mistake on the beach. Have you ever revisited that in your mind or in reality, tried to recreate it? Have you had any lesbian encounters since? Or let's just say women on women.
No, nothing since. I think probably my shortfalls or my downfall here lies in the fact that I just don't really have very many local gay or bi female friends. All the ones I know have monogamous relationships with boyfriends, so there isn't really much chance over there. The few bi females I do know, I don't know very well, and they aren't local. So
wait a minute. The internet says that if you're in a monogamous heterosexual relationship, it's okay for a woman to have sex with another woman. And that does not.
Well, yes, but that would mean
break into monogamy.
She'd first have to want to. See, not that she's not allowed to. It's just that they have a boyfriend, so they don't not interested in chasing a woman.
I don't know. There's some things that a woman can deliver that a man can't.
I was going to say a common, but mistaken impression, I think.
Possibly.
But maybe men are better these days about satisfying all a woman's needs.
One would hope.
Maybe movies like, I don't know, Bound, etc. finally educated us to the parts we've been missing.
I guess it's more like I haven't found the woman who interested in me, therefore I haven't been searching.
That sounds very passive of you.
Yes, I'm actually a pretty passive person when it comes to relationships.
Well, I think let's turn this around and turn this into a challenge. If I find you, like, a really hot babe, that's willing to let you perform experiments in the laboratory of her lesbianism. Are you up to the challenge? Do you accept? If I lay down the gauntlet, do you accept?
That worked, for example, with Piper the lesbian anthropologist.
That's exactly.
The formerly straight Piper.
I have to lay down some qualifications here. I mean, I have to actually be physically attracted to her, like, majorly. Or else
I know a lot of hot babes, but being the host of an international talk show, believe me, I know some of the most attractive people on the planet.
Possibly. Yeah.
True.
She also just can't turn me off personality-wise either. She has to be, like, a decent person. Then, maybe.
What turns you on about women?
I like small, slender, curvy, that sort of thing.
Breasts?
They're nice.
Hair?
If possible.
As long as it's not like bear rug like some guys are, then that's okay, I think.
No, I've never met a woman who has back hair, so I don't think that's a worry.
Bear rug?
Like all over.
Sasquatch-like.
I mean, on guys it's okay.
There's a name for that fetish, right? Hirsute?
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
There's a name for everything, I think.
That's true.
Well, I think this is an idea for a future show, is perhaps DJ 2000, like.
Well, Piper, I don't know if Piper's listening. I'll either set you up with Piper herself.
Piper is strictly monogamous, so I don't know if that would work.
But we've already decided this isn't really. I don't want Piper to break out of her relationship. I want Piper to, like.
This is an experiment. This is science.
This is an experiment, right, in the field of sexology.
Blind blood job. Who gives a
Oh, that's
one?
Right.
Gay
that's
guy
right.
Or woman?
I remember that experiment from a while ago. The idea for the experiment, I should say.
Blind blood job. Who gives a
Oh, that's
one?
Right.
Gay
that's
guy
right.
Or woman?
I remember that experiment from a while ago. The idea for the experiment, I should say. We're making our producer look very uncomfortable. I think that's a brilliant idea, actually.
Well, maybe he's just upset. I mean, I think we could cut a little hole between the producer's section and...
And he can, in fact, do the double blind.
He's run away.
I did nothing.
There's nothing to beep about. Glory hole. And he can, in fact, do the double blind.
He's run away.
I did nothing.
There's nothing to beep about. Glory hole is a perfectly acceptable term in the eyes of the FCC.
All right.
Censorship is rampant.
Now that my... Now that my behavior collar has been activated.
Your agonizer, Mr. Corey.
Well, so I'm going to turn the table around on you, Mr. Host.
Holy. Who gave you permission to do that?
You've been talking about how a gay woman would seduce me. How would a straight woman seduce you?
Well, so many have tried.
And how many have failed?
See, I don't know. Actually, it's interesting. I mean, it's happened a few times. Like, you know, I mean, there have been a few women that I've become really close with, and... who just wanted to do it just sort of for, like, the... I mean, I'm in a relationship, but I want to have a relationship with a woman. But it would be an interesting experiment to try to get, like, do the nasty with some woman. I've never been sexual with a woman before.
So were they getting to know you just for that chance of a physical interaction?
A challenge.
No, right. I think so. I mean, they were just... well, there's a couple in particular. One was... Who's just, like, you know, a very friendly person and... you know, she was like, hey, you know, let's... I mean,
I want some of your hot gay action.
It was just, you know, just to do something different, I guess. I don't know if she had some kind of ulterior motive.
Because this is a well-known phenomenon, right? The whole... I don't know if I can use the words on air, but the whole chasing gay men...
Being prissy today, so I don't know. Yeah.
Evidently.
Straight women chasing gay men because obviously they're just missing out.
Hmm.
Because there are certain experiences, obviously, that a gay man never has.
Yeah.
True.
Now for you, since you're not necessarily... with a gay guy, you can be turned on by the idea here, because you know you like it. With a woman, I mean, I'm not sure...
I know I like what?
What?
Gay men.
Gay men.
Oh.
Or straight men.
With a woman, it sounds like that you... Or with a man, sorry. It sounds like that she's trying to get to know you first and develop an emotional thing before she delves into the sexual thing. I mean, it's not like a woman can just come up to you and give you a back rub and turn you on or like flash you or something.
Oh, do that again. Did you just flash me your breasts?
Once again, it's your magic ability
Animal
to get women to take their shirt off on the show.
I will tell you and all the other women out there in Radioland exactly how to seduce me because the key has always been, the key barrier has always been...
Booze, 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 booze.
Right. Well, maybe the key barrier has always really been, you know, my own like ultra powerful self-loathing. You know, Oprah and I share the following thing: we're both fantastically charismatic celebrities on the outside, but inside,
you're crying,
hurt little children.
We're hurt little children that want to be loved, and so, you know, there's just like for me, just because I've never ever even done it with a woman, like I don't even know where to start, and I don't want her like laugh at my tiny undersized penis, and I don't want her to laugh at the fact that like I don't know what to do with her vagina or like what parts do what.
So
and, like I'm not even particularly I'm sharing here. I'm getting a child's coming out. And like I don't even know like in the bedroom I'm actually kind of the typically the more passive partner, if you will. And so if there's some lady that wants me to like be like the total John Holmes, you know, pelvis smacking fucking bronco kind of guy, I'm not even, that's not even my personality.
Oh, lovely image.
So
well, certainly that's not what a woman is going to be going after if she wants to seduce a gay man, right? She's not going to be going for the ultra macho, ass-slapping, come-flying hardcore 70s action.
She wants sensitivity, right?
Well, maybe.
Or she wants, sensitively turn you on and maybe you hold you and you cry afterwards.
I think this would come the time for the obligatory plead for callers if anybody's had any experience with this.
True. Surefire techniques.
412-621-9728. You have to dial all 10 of those digits now if you want to get through.
If you're in Pittsburgh, at least. Well everywhere. Everywhere, actually. But.
Yeah.
But if you're on campus, it's just 8 WRCT.
But surely there's an implied contract, getting back to this being expected to be a John Holmes stand-in for for some woman who's just trying to seduce you. There should be, at least, some implied contract that the gay man is entering the new territory and he's the one who needs to be pinned down and shown the ropes. So
no, that's your fantasy.
Well, maybe, but and also that there's the danger involved for the gay man, right?
Being humiliated.
Or actually, there's a danger involved for anyone who's crossing their boundary.
Is this the vagina dentata issue?
Yes, that's part of it, actually.
What's the danger?
Well, the danger is that you're crossing your sexual orientation boundary, right? You're entering new territory. You don't know whether this is going to work or not. So this person is trying to lead you across, seduce you across that particular river, Styx or whatever.
And if it fails,
surely the implied contract should be that they're taking care of you.
Right. True.
I mean, it seems like this issue came up like a handful of times in my like college years when everybody was experimenting, and maybe a little bit afterwards, but. Is it too late? I mean, now that I'm, like, middle-aged and, like...
You're just getting into your prime.
Absolutely.
Gay men peak a lot later than straight men.
And remember, with the miracle of Viagra, there's no such thing as middle-aged.
Is it true that you die or that bad things happen if you take Viagra and then don't follow through?
I've never heard that.
I heard this at a party a few
months ago. I heard that bad things happen if you take it and you don't need it.
I've read several first-hand accounts of men taking it who didn't technically need it.
And it raises the heart rate or something in a bad way, and then suddenly...
Well, so there are all these side effects, like elevated heart rate, elevated blood pressure, the infamous blue vision.
Blue?
Yes, your vision can kind of take on this
sounds
blue...
Sounds pornographic.
This blue hue, I think, has to do with the raised blood pressure. But none of these guys had any, like, horrible issues. Mm. And in fact, one of them didn't come to fruition, as it were, so and he didn't die or his head didn't explode or whatever.
I think
clearly this calls for experimentation.
And I think it's actually sort of common for like people in the sex industry, like strippers and so on, who want to like maintain, people have to maintain like an erection for 2 hours in a row.
That's what fluffer is for.
Not if you're dancing.
I think
dangers of erections?
Okay. You want to be sort of like at least semi-erect in order to give the ladies something to look at. But, you know, I think.
We have this problem solved. Medically.
I do not have erectile problems yet. That is not the key problem. The key problem is by and large, you know, the overwhelming problem right now is the sort of shame and self-loathing problem. And so I'd want like the perfect woman who would like want... You know, to do this as an experiment, we're totally nurturing and didn't have some bizarre, like, horrible agenda, like she wanted to become my girlfriend afterwards. Right? That would be really bad.
Mm-hmm. Would that dampen the moment itself?
Or just make you kick her to the street afterwards.
Right, because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want it to be about, like, I mean, actually, it would really have to be about, that first experiment would have to be all about me. I wouldn't want to be worried. I wouldn't want to have to worry about whether she was having a good time, whether I was making her feel bad, et cetera, et cetera. She would really have to be like a total, like, I'm doing this for DJ Corey this time. And then we could take turns, but we've got a call, thankfully. Is the caller on the air?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you so much for calling in.
Hello, DJ 2000. I'm a long-time listener, but first-time caller. And I have a relationship question, actually, and this particular show seems to be the perfect forum.
Well, great.
We are here. We're here for you.
So this is what's going on. I have these two friends who are both roommates. I'll call them Jeb and W. And W is straight, and Jeb is gay, but Jeb's been in love with W for a long time. It's pretty clear. W's been dating somebody, but it's not quite working out. And he confessed to me that Jeb offered to start having oral sex with him with sort of no strings attached and
there
no, like,
expectations
of reciprocity. So my question is, what's really going on in this guy's head? Is he really just trying to help a friend out? Is that sort of a reasonable mode of operation for psychology? Or is he trying to sort of lure W into, you know, like gradually step by step into, onto the other side, I guess?
So, yeah, well, I think there's a third choice here, right? I think it's just like a lust on Jeb's part. Like maybe he thinks W is hot and wants to get some of that action. This is just an easy way to do it.
But I mean, like, as I understand the contract, it's just for Jeb to blow W.
Right.
Like, there's no, you know, is that still exciting?
Some people like blowing.
What?
Some people like being the giver on that side, so maybe.
See, I find your question totally rich with emotional resonance for me because I was in almost the exact situation as Jeb and W in my college days because, you know, I had a roommate who basically, you know, I spent a whole year, there was a whole year of sexual tension where it was sort of clear that I would blow him and it was sort of clear that he wouldn't have to reciprocate. And I think I mishandled the situation because it never quite happened. Like, you know, because we sort of joke about it and like one time he sort of came into my room announced and he's like, you know what, you know, before the year is up, I should really take you up on this idea of like getting a blowjob from you without any kind of reciprocation. And I'm like, and I would joke back. I'd be like, oh, you know, I didn't say there'd be no reciprocation, right? So there's a sort of like moonlighting style sexual tension between us. And so, but since nothing ever happened, I've been kicking myself for like the past 11 years, you know, wondering if I should have handled that situation differently because it's really true that like, and part of it is because I really liked him too. And so I did kind of want him to be a boyfriend, but there is kind of, you know, there is a complete and valid, you know, gay thrill in just, you know, giving someone sexual pleasure, even if they don't, especially if they don't reciprocate, you know.
But were you sort of hoping at some level that, you know, that your action might dislodge something in the psyche, it might come tumbling down and land on planet gay something?
right, but you can't, right, I mean, but I'm, in fact, I made the mistake of hoping that. What I should have, strategically what I should have done was done indeed sort of a, you know, a whittled him down, you know, just turned him gay in small steps. And
how do you do that?
Well, right. I mean, like, you know, start with like
show tunes.
You know, start with the blowjob with no reciprocation, and really, I mean, you're really just, you know.
Wait, can we stop there for a second? I mean, as soon as you, I don't know what life is like on planet gay, but is there any hope for a real relationship other than something physical once you start down that path? Is there any hope for a real relationship other than something physical once you start down that path? This would be Jeb's problem as
have a emotional.
What are we going to beat again for
what? Man, our producer is so have a emotional.
What are we going to beat again for what?
Man, our producer is so trigger happy tonight.
Man,
I'm sorry, I'm confused. What just happened?
I didn't.
We just got beeped. We have no idea why. So,
am I not supposed to use the names Jeb and W in this context? Is that that?
I don't know. So
I know that Jeb has some emotional investment in W. It's obvious. It's been obvious for like a year or two.
Right. So our panelist, Enrico, His point was that if Jeb has some kind of emotional investment or, you know, actually has a thing for W, then it might not be in his best interest.
Jeb doesn't want to be seen to be as handing out necessarily.
To be handing out free oral sex.
Oh. But fellatio some place has to be the thin wedge where the gay can enter, you know.
Wait, what?
His Enrico's point was that he may lose respect for Jeb. Yeah. Think, oh, okay. He's just some gay whore.
Here's what you don't understand.
My point is, so DJ 2000 laid out this very promising methodology of turning someone gay in small steps. And so I'd like him to cover that if possible.
Well, first two things. I mean, I think it's always a mistake. Like, I want my own existence, my own life, to serve as a warning to all you young people out there.
Warning or a beacon of example?
A warning. A warning. You don't want to turn out like me. Like, 10 years in grad school with no PhD. Bad.
What are you talking about? You're on the radio.
Yeah, internationally famous radio host.
Syndicated.
I mean, there's been, you know, the cloud has a couple of silver linings. But the point is, you know, let's say you're like 18 and your future seems promising and there's all these like open doors and people, you know, your future seems bright. You know, you don't want to be making these like deals where you say, oh, I'm not going to perform fellatio on my hot roommate, Jeb. No, W. Because he won't respect me. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Get what you can.
While your arms are still firm.
While the getting's good. While you still have that firm college ass and, you know, tight abs and sweet, sweet, pouty little mouth. Get all the sex you can because later...
Later comes the romance.
Later it's going to be some
bitterness.
And so, you know...
Can I ask sort of a follow-up question?
I don't know.
Sure.
May I ask sort of a follow-up question?
We will indulge you.
Okay, so you're saying, you know, just ignore social convention and, you know, go for the gusto. What if W starts putting conditions on the sex act? Like, okay, you know, there has to be Britney Spears playing in the background, you know, and then escalates to you have to be wearing a wig, you know, and it keeps going up and up and
right.
up. Like, where does Jeb draw the line? Or is that something that each individual man has to make? Himself.
Well, it depends. I mean, for me, it actually, I realized in retrospect that the situation, the more personally degrading it was for me, the better it would be, I think. Like, I would like, you know, my roommate to have, like, you know, I mean, I was actually thinking we could cut a hole in the door of our dorm room and like, build a kind of dorm glory hole, a dormy hole. Or, like, you know, I would...
Wait, where you would sit outside the hall and blow?
Well, no, we had separate rooms with a door... separating them. Or,
why would you go to college?
You know, I would like him to, you know, urinate on me or, you know, so
treating
like
a dog.
So, like, the way I think I would repackage this and sell it is like, you know, look, you've got this prissy girlfriend from, like, Radcliffe who won't let you do anything kinky. You know, get all your kinky influences on me. You know, I will be arbitrarily degraded because I care so much about you. And so, you know...
Are you seriously like preparing a video of the sort of acts you'd be willing to perform?
Actually, there's one piece of advice I'd like to pass on, not from personal experience, alas, but from a competitor's sex column. But he had somebody writing in who had been in the straight man position in this situation. And he said, like, the biggest turnoff for him was the feel of stubble on the man's cheeks between his legs. So tell Jeb to... shave very, very, very closely before he actually does any of this.
Or wax, even.
Or wax, even, perhaps, yes. Yeah. The Brazilian face wax. So that's a little bit of verisimilitude I would have never come up with myself. I owe it all to
I wonder if that's
pioneers.
A test for being gay, actually. If you get someone to rub stubble on your inside thigh and then decide whether it's a turn-on or a turn-off.
It's like a 21st century version of the gag reflex test that they would do during World War II.
So tangenting slightly.
To test if people were gay, they would test to see how strong your gag reflex was.
Really?
Really.
Really.
And if you didn't, if as a man you didn't have a gag reflex, they'd assume, oh, it's because of performing fellatio in truck stops, and you'd be labeled gay.
Wow.
Or 4F or whatever they did, yeah.
Really?
Really.
So if I could tangent slightly, I had some advice from one of my friends for a possible way of getting someone else into bed is to just go for a threesome. If you're a gay man trying to get a straight man to bed, then find a female friend of yours who the guy has a hots for. And say, hey, I'm interested in her too. Get a threesome going, and then you can privately good on him in the middle of it. Might be hard to do, but if it actually works, then.
But as we know from all the movies, right, this always ends in like someone killing someone. And unfortunateness like that. There have been many movies about this.
Logistically, that's very complex, but that's a good idea. Because that way the guy can say, oh, I'm being straight, I'm doing this hot threesome, while, you know, working through his gay urges.
And really, he's doing it for his girlfriend, right? His
right.
I think if you could actually find the person to do that, it would work pretty well. I've never actually done anything like that, though.
See, this, of course, also resonates with my tragic college history because, you know, I had a friend who had a long-standing multi-year crush on, and
one of the same.
There's like two or three. So this wasn't the college roommate that I wanted to have sex with. This was the other friend that I wanted to have sex with. And he was like, well, you know, it would be great if you and I could, like, get two girls and then have sex with those girls, like, in the same room. And so he was willing to have sex next to me. But, you know, I should have gone for it. But again, there was this whole, like, bizarre, crushing self-loathing about, like, the woman thing. Did we lose our caller?
Sounds like
I think we did.
Hate that.
Well, we were no longer addressing his issues. And he became flaccid.
These were his
left.
Friends. This wasn't actually his issue.
His friends. Although he sensed a little bit of denial in our caller, sorry.
Well, if our caller doesn't have a little bit of denial, well,
an interesting thing you touch on is the facilitator for crossing these sexual boundaries, having the woman along for the gay experience, or presume having the man along for the lesbian experience. Well, it didn't seem to help in Brenda's case, but I think that actually is a feature.
Yes, the man was not involved at all.
But was the man present?
He was present, yeah.
So it was within the context of him.
Well, I think that was the reason why I agreed to it in the first place.
Do you think
he
would have been more
the facilitator?
Do you think you would have been more into it if he had been involved? If it had been actually some kind of hot threesome action on the beach, you could have.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Wow.
So why did it turn into that? You both had sex with him already. There were few sexual boundaries.
I don't remember if he was not already or not. I just remember we were both kind of into him. So. I know it eventually turned into that. I don't know if that happened already. My memory is poor.
But again, I mean, this should be a lesson to, like, all of you pre-college students and all the college students out there listening. Time is short. Like, every weekend, you should be, like, strategizing to, like, have threesomes and
a sign-up sheet.
Right.
There should be a sign-up sheet.
There really should. I mean, you think that you have
all the steam room.
Yes.
You think you have all this free time, but you don't. Like, your time, it's like...
You're here to learn.
It's like sand grains falling through your hands. Like, before you know it, there will be no more threesomes. And so, strike while the iron is hot. I'm serious.
You'll be chubby, bald, and impotent, and no one will love you. And you'll be eating cold pork and beans out of a can in your cold water flat in Brooklyn.
A beautiful image.
Of course, that's perhaps a worst-case scenario, but it could happen to you.
So, Enrico, so I wanted to, like, segue to you for a moment. Are we calling you? I thought we were calling you, like, something else earlier.
We settled on Enrico.
I wasn't sure. I'm sorry. I had to use his real name.
So,
I like Enrico. It's suave.
Unlike you.
We.
It's a pseudonym. Yes. Gay experiences, etc.
Well, not gay qua gay, but the topic of tonight's show, putatively, is, you know. Have you ever tried to, like, convert someone to sort of the support of the appropriate sexual orientation, or had it done to you?
Mm-hmm.
And have you?
I was racking my brains before the show trying to think of incidents from my rich and varied past to do with this whole topic, and unfortunately I have very few. The only thing I can think of was my hot cyber sex years. Which
years?
As many years? Of our listeners will know, cyber sex is where you get to try things you wouldn't have the chutzpah to
you
try in real life.
For more than 1 year?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wear glasses now.
So it's all textual-based, right? So you're typing in things like, you know, I am biting your nipple now.
Right, it's textual-based, but it's also like imagery. You're building up a scene in your head, right? It's like reading a book. It's like reading erotica, which I suppose makes it more female than feminine than masculine because it's not based on pictures
and
put to
you.
Now, you think now. Yeah, Dr. Sexopoulos, I know you have some knowledge of the computer field. You'd think in a few years people might be able to manipulate images and icons and 3D, you know, avatars in the same way they manipulate text today. So the future cyber sex might just be, you know,
webcam.
Like
you could be like the total cyber sex puppet master.
Absolutely. A brilliant friend of mine had the idea recently of a website which would have a never-ending loop of different people coming into the room, having sex, and leaving just over and over again, which is, if you gave him $1 million, I could do that probably. Yes. Like, it just involves some motion recording, some motion editing, texture mapping, fancy pants work.
But this is going to take away some of the magic, right? Like the leap from the book to the movie.
Right.
I mean, people are nervous about all these Harry Potter movies because they just can't live up to their imagination. The same for text-based sexual encounters, I think.
But you could see Dr. Aki Ross, like, in some hot tentacle three-way. And isn't that worth it?
Anyhow, back to our topic. So,
wasn't it more eight-way for tentacles?
As happens every so often when you're in the whole cyber sex arena, people will what they call private message you, and this is their way of like grabbing on your sleeve and saying come here, psst. And you disappear into a private room and you do whatever it is that you do. So for some reason, one night this. For, I assume, this guy, or at least this person who was playing a guy, asked if I was interested in having fun with him in a private space. And I had never actually done this before, so this was quite an interesting opportunity to present it with.
Was it clear that you were male? Were you logging off that
yes,
male
handle?
Yes, it
was very clear that I was male. I can't remember what chat room I was in, otherwise I'd advertise it, because I assume there are other people there who would like to do this. But it was also very obvious that I hadn't done this before, and I think that was part of the charge for this other person. It was the seduce the straight boy aspect.
And did he?
So he brought you into his little boudoir.
He brought me into his little TXT. Boudoir, which is just a white screen. You have to actually fill all these things with your... and then describe doing various things to me, which actually, as I was saying earlier on, the implied contract, this person had to be proactive because
right.
I don't know the dance moves. I'm panicking.
And so there you were.
There I was.
You don't know away. The dance moves on Planet Gay? Is that what you just said? Okay.
So there he is, typing away.
He's typing away.
Rubbing
your turgid word. And I'm trying to keep up, right? I'm trying to show interest here, but this is violating my orientation because I've never done this before, and I've never...
Your inner sense of self.
My inner sense of self. And I've never fantasized enough about it to be able to fill in this kind of scene.
Mm-hmm.
So normally it was him saying, I do this, I do this, I do this, although with more flower and more...
So what were you typing back? Like, that's making me uncomfortable. I don't swing that way.
No,
sorry.
No.
Stop touching me there.
So this is a wonderful buffer thing that goes on when you're having cyber sex, because you can guard your reactions. You can actually have one reaction and pretend to have another. So, of course, I was doing the ooh, baby, whatever.
Hit me one more time.
Yes, exactly. Thing. Trying to get into the mood for this thing. I was thinking, okay, if I just do this for a few minutes, I'll get into the swing of it. It can't be that difficult.
And a little bit.
See, I like that attitude. That's all straight men who are being seduced by gay men should have that attitude.
Then I hit my mental wall.
Hmm. And by your mental wall, you mean?
I mean that I just could not continue. I could not think of...
So what did you do? Just leave the room?
I didn't leave the room. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Which was, I suppose, the most unromantic thing to say at that moment in time.
That is, that's horrible.
I don't know, actually, I don't know what a good kiss-off would have been.
Oh, I'm done. Goodbye. Quit.
Okay, no, really.
At least it would have given him the you know, the warm glow.
But I mean, my problem was that this person was describing all the things that they were pseudo-doing to me, and the idea was just freaking me out.
Could you pretend it was a girl or something?
Yeah, I can't believe... Right, exactly. Pretend it was a girl and then just do some primitive textual translation. You know, I'm rubbing your...
Nipples.
Vagina. Right, right, exactly.
Right.
Like, I'm putting on the priest uniform. You know what I mean? Like,
But there are descriptions that you get into when you do this type of thing that won't...
Are you actually saying, like, you were, like, so un... I mean, so you weren't into it sexually, but at least out of politeness or out of
I started off out of politeness. I mean, I had the right intentions starting off. But
so, like, cyber sex doesn't work for you unless you're, like, really, really, really into it?
I could cyber sex cyber doesn't sex. Work for me if I know if I know what's on the other side is not sexually attractive to me. As soon as someone tells me something about themselves or the other side that
Really?
Is
I'm wearing diapers.
Yes. Exactly.
Well,
like, that's it.
You know, I'm an FBI agent. I'm like a 45-year-old shut-in. I mean, you know, 99% of people engaging in cybersex.
Hello, son.
Yes, but as soon as they puncture the fantasy, it's flat.
He's living in a balloon.
Well, I think that's a.
But I mean, I think I deserve some kudos for giving this a shot.
No one gets kudos in their show. Unless so.
But I think actually, so in terms of techniques for seducing someone into something other than their normal preference, trying it out online is the very safest thing you can do.
Probably at least likely to work, too, I'd say.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, I mean,
I think it would allow you to explore whatever interests or urges you have in that direction. And if it works for you, it's like, oh my God, I just had an orgasm here talking to a guy about his man whatnot. Then you realize, this might be something I want to investigate in real life. And then you hit the gay bars and you're...
I presume there's a progression. Like, first of all, it starts off in your head. Then you proceed to the gay porn and then interacting with someone who's at least playing a gay person, if not gay, actually gay themselves.
I wonder, actually, if there's this kind of whole unconscious or maybe even conscious subculture in porn, visual or not, which tends to emphasize which is aimed towards straight men, but tends to emphasize the male member, like this kind of closeted gay man, straight porn, do you know what I mean?
The subtext.
Where it's like, okay, yes, there's Jenna Jameson there, so you can tell your friends you watched.
Yeah, but it's strange, though. I mean, why would straight men want to watch porn with men who have obviously large...
Well, this is part of the whole, like, Foucaultian, where the location of the eye, you know?
You're going to have to bring that down a level for me.
Or Bataille, rather. Like, okay, so when you look, consider the prototypical heteronormative pornographic experience. Like, straight man looking at a picture of a naked woman. So, like, what is the imaginary world we're seeing here? Where is the man locating himself with respect to this woman in his fantasy? Like, is he watching her? Is he in the room with her and she can see him? And this gets more complicated if, like, it's a man, say, again, a straight man looking at a straight couple having sex. Like, is he imagining himself to be the man or is he imagining himself to be watching? And I once heard, like, in not quite as artsy-fartsy way, but this described to explain part of the popularity of Ron Jeremy, who's like a fantastically hairy and ugly man. It's because like any man can say, like, look, if Ron Jeremy can be banging this fine babe, I could too. And so in that case, the gaze is located inside Ron Jeremy, right? You're saying, if I were Ron Jeremy, I would be blah, blah, blah.
That explains everything but dwarf porn.
And tentacle porn. I mean, where's the location of the gaze there on some...
Is this just
multifaceted
some
alien eye, or is it
fantasy thing, or does this actually exist?
Bridget the Midget might be the world's most famous dwarf porn actress.
Is she gay or straight?
She's straight. She actually works part-time at the Mustang Ranch in Nevada,
how you
too.
Turn a
but, like,
dwarf.
Let me share some of her video names with you. Like, Itsy Bitsy Gang Bang.
You're going to get beeped.
There was nothing obscene or prurient about that. I'm merely imparting information. It's all available on the internet.
It's a bit of gangbang.
I'm sorry, I don't want to get... Like, the others, actually, I realized after I said, gave the portal, like, I probably couldn't say over the air.
So I wonder if this must be a good kind of indicator that your target is swingable, is to look at their porn collection and see what you can infer from either the titles or the visuals. Like, if it's a... I can't think of a good example right now, but I'm sure there's something there.
Well, so the biggest barrier in the, like, male world, at least in college, was, you know, I mean, I knew a lot of guys that were sort of vaguely kind of gay curious, but they didn't want to be, in terms of their sexual feelings, they were gay curious, but they certainly didn't want to be thought of as gay. They didn't want to deal with the social stigma of being gay, and they didn't want to, like, even, like, be associated with the whole, like, lack of, you know, masculinity that the gay label would imply. And so, where was I going with that?
There's no safe place.
I don't know if
there had
been some maybe unisex bathroom on campus with glory holes. They would have been okay going there because they could have convinced themselves. Or it's just a woman with a lot of facial hair on the other side of that hole.
So, I mean, the point, I don't remember what point I was making, but it had something to do with...
Midgets?
That had something to do with the idea that, you know, another barrier for, like, turning turning to like having, you know, sex with someone of the inappropriate orientation was to like not explicitly acknowledge that that was, well, that's what was happening.
That's
and so
a barrier?
This is the whole, well, the barrier is their like fear of being gay, and so the trick is to just like use extremely slow erosion of the barrier. So like,
this is
we're not gay, we're just watching porn together and drinking a six pack.
This is where we get into transsexual sex. Right, where you have
it is. Yeah. It is.
Where you have men who are partially women, or women who are partially men, or whatever, and they dress one particular way. But as soon as you progress into whatever, then it becomes obvious that the mechanics of the situation don't work the way you expect the mechanics of such a situation to work.
So who was it that got arrested for being a prostitute? Eddie Murphy?
No, he was driving.
Hugh Grant,
a transsexual prostitute.
He was driving
around in his car. Yes.
Well,
he was saying,
okay.
I was giving her a ride home. I saw her on the street. She looked so poor and defenseless.
Yeah.
But it was Hugh Grant who was actually caught being given oral sex by a woman, though.
Okay.
But not his.
So Eddie Murphy was on the gateway drug, basically, for.
Yes.
For games.
Well, so a friend of mine who spent some time in Brazil said there's like this huge subculture in Brazil of transgendered prostitutes. Basically, like. I can't say it, but it's chicks with a word that rhymes with chicks that means penises. Like, but beautiful, right? Like lots of plastic surgery, boob jobs, the whole deal. Like, but you know, when you walk down or drive down this particular prostitute row, they'll pull down their shirts and lift up their skirts to show you like what they're packing. Exactly. Right. That's, you know, meat and two veg.
And so this is a way of seeking into.
Well, I've always wondered. Like, I've never been
segue. The word is segue.
I've never quite been sure what the attraction to that is. Is it men who are like, oh no, I really like women, but have gay urges that they don't want to acknowledge, or if there's some like third urge, some middle road between gay and straight that.
I think the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. So it probably is that they're on their way, but they're just.
In denial. Well, there's a lot of men in denial in Rio then, because this is a big.
Well, it's a love culture, right? They like to love everything.
True.
I'm not satisfied with that simplistic answer. Although we're going to have to hold that topic for next week, I think. But you know, the allure. If any of our callers are straight men who prefer transsexual prostitutes as partners, please call in sometime in the next week and leave your phone number.
Transsexuals out there who
right.
Leave your phone number for the sex talk producers so that we can get back to you.
Is that all? I guess our time is up.
That may be it. I've only seen your... Show me your breasts one more time. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in again next week, Tuesday at 11. Our website is sextalk.wrct.org.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public.